We've been looking at the life of Joseph, our patriarchic father, and last time we were together, we were looking in chapters 39 to 41, and really spending some time with his dream interpretations. When we get to chapter 42, where is he at this moment? Yeah, he's been set in charge of this storage of grain to help the country of Egypt. Now, at the beginning of this process, how many years are we looking at? 14 total years. So, let's read verse 1. This is 42, verse 1. When Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" Now, what can we know from that particular verse? We get a sense of time, don't we? At least how many years has it been since the end of chapter 41 to 42? We're looking at around 8 years at least, right? 7 to 8 years. Because we've went through, if they're looking for grain, what does that tell us? We've been there in a time of famine. Now, does he tell us exactly how long? No. But I can at least deduce that it's been about 7, 8, 9 years since Joseph was put into charge. I don't know how long, far into the famine, Jacob had looked and said, you know, we don't have any grain. Why are you looking at each other? Go to Egypt. It's kind of what he's saying. And verse 2, he tells them, "I've heard that there is grain for sale in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, that we may live and not die." And so the problem has gotten severe enough that now there tends to be a threat of hunger, right? If he's talking about dying. So we've gotten into the situation a little bit here so that he says, you need to go and get this taken care of. Now, verse 3 tells us how many of the brothers go. 10, right? Who's staying behind? Benjamin. I didn't do this math ahead of time. I'm not sure how old Benjamin is. It's not like he's a little boy at this point. We know that... How old is Joseph in chapter 41? He's 30 years old at that point. And now if we're another... Well, there was 2 years that he got forgotten, right? So 32, and then you're at least 7 years beyond that. So how old is Joseph at this point? He's right around 40. We can't know for sure, but he's 40 years old. He's getting up in my neighborhood, right? A little bit to go there. But so... Benjamin, I knew this number, now I don't. Anybody remember how old was Joseph when Benjamin was born? Was he 13? I thought there was a number, but maybe I'm wrong. We know he was how old when he was sold into slavery. 17 at that point. So he's been away from home now for around 23 years. He's lived longer away from his father than he lived in his father's home at this point. So the situation has gotten severe enough that they're looking for grain all the way in Egypt. And that's a good distance from Canaan to Egypt. This is not like travel over to Food Lion. Oh, sweetheart, we're out of bread. I need a loaf of bread. Can you go get it? Right. Miss Charlene says that to Turner. Turner's like, okay, the store's not too far away. I'll just run down there and get some. What he's talking about is a much different process, isn't he? This kind of travel time would have been much different. And so these 10 brothers, they get what they need, and they travel from Canaan to Egypt. Now, let's go down to verse 6. It says, Joseph was governor. That term there in the original language is, when we think of governor, what do we think about in our modern vernacular? I think about state governors, right? They run a state, essentially. His power range is much higher than that. Almost, but he has more power than the vice president does. Vice president in our country doesn't have a whole lot of power. He only gets power if something happens to president, right? His only power is he's president of the Senate. But he is second in command with a great deal of authority in his power. He was governor over the land. Now, if you remember all the way back in our last chapter, Pharaoh said, he gave us an indication of how much power. Do you remember what he set the limit on his power at? Second. He says all the way up to the throne, right? In other words, in all the land of Egypt, nobody has greater power than Joseph, than Pharaoh alone. So verse 6 reminds us that he is now governor over the land. And he's the one who sold to all the people of the land. Now, one of the things I find interesting, and I don't know, there's no way to know this, but it seems kind of crazy to me to think, here's the guy that runs the program. Like, if I go to Walmart, I don't expect to see the CEO. Right? You don't expect to see the CEO working at the cash register. But somehow his brothers have come in contact with him. And I imagine this was a pretty large production in order to sell this grain, to distribute it. And yet they're able to meet him. That's, to me, it's got to be a God providence thing here that he would even come in contact. Verse number 6 also tells us, what did the brothers do when they saw him?
They bowed themselves
down to him. Now, does that sound, yeah. Does that have, that recall something back in your mind? What was his dream about? Do you remember? He had two dreams, didn't he? You remember what the first one was? That was the second one. The first one was the she's, right? And what did it say?
They all bowed down
to him. In the second one, it was the sun, the moon, and the stars. The stars represent who? The brothers. The sun, the moon represent mom and dad, right? And what was the meaning of both of those? They're all going to bow down to Joseph. Well, just like God had given him the vision, unbeknownst to all of them, that very thing is happening. Verse 7 tells us that he saw his brothers and what? Recognized them. Now, it's been 20 plus years. We don't have the exact amount of time, but it's been 20 plus years since he's seen them. And yet he recognizes them. I'm kind of amazed about that. We change a lot in 20 years. But do you still know your family? There's still a recognition, right? There's something about them that maybe you notice. Well, do they recognize him? Now, why can he recognize them and not the reverse?
Well, probably because he was in Egyptian attire, makeup, and everything.
He's in Egyptian
attire.
Clean shaven. Yeah.
He's clean shaven, probably. His hair has been cut. I believe like they would shave their head and have the one top strand of hair that would come down. Or maybe he's off the side. I can't remember exactly.
There's a lot more difference between a 17-year-old and his 40-year-old. Mm-hmm. And he has, I'm saying, 40, you know, that age difference. You change, a man's face and stuff is going to change. His body is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
true. Yeah.
Plus his attire, and where was that, was not expected.
That's the other big thing about this. Is he could have a right expectation that eventually they're going to come to him or at least come to Egypt because everybody knows what's going on in the country. They're going to have to turn to Egypt eventually. But then the reverse is that there's no way. What's their last memory of him? He's in chains being taken away by Ishmaelites to be sold into slavery. There's no way that, because God has not given them the providential knowledge, to know what's happened to him. And so, I know in their mind, they probably thought either he's dead or he's a slave in somebody's house somewhere, and we'll never see that dude again. And so, both of those probably play a part here. They've come to buy the food. Now, these encounters are fascinating to me. And so we're going to try to look at each of them. Verse 9, let's back up to verse 7. So how does the text say he spoke to them? Roughly. What does that seem to indicate?
He wasn't kind to them.
He wasn't kind.
Yeah.
Probably very stern. And we know he goes to accusation pretty quickly, doesn't he? What does he accuse them of in verse 9?
Being a spy.
They're being a spy.
Yeah.
So this is something when you do a little study of the context, kind of helps, at least for me, illuminate it a little bit about what's going on. One of the things the Egyptians lived in great fear of was invasion from the north. There were marauding bands that would come down and come into the land, and they would come down and make havoc. They would steal and kill, and then they would run away. Right? And so these marauding bands would come down into the land. And so his accusation seems to be, although he doesn't obviously believe this because he knows who they are, but the accusation seems to imply, here you are, you're coming down to find a soft target for your marauding band. How do they defend themselves?
That they were sons of one man.
Why would that be a defense for them not being a marauding band? Think about that for a minute. I hadn't really thought about this before until I started doing a little study on it, and kind of made sense in my mind. Because forever I've wondered, that doesn't seem to be, what does it have to do with being the sons of one man? Yeah. You don't normally have gangs from one family. Now, you get in some of these small country places out in Kentucky, you can have families that do a lot of violence. But typically, when you're dealing with gang activity, it's not families, like physical families. It's groups of young men that get together and do things. And so they seem to be saying, look, we're brothers. We're not part of some big eclectic marauding group. they say, "We are honest men," verse 11. "Your servants have never been spies." And so they're defending themselves. He goes on in verse 12. He says, no. It's the nakedness of the land. He is insistent on this. Now, Joseph the whole time knows what? So, well, I'll come back to that. I want to come back to that question of why is he doing this? They say again, "We are your servants, our 12 brothers." Oh, now Joseph can count, right? Are there 12? No, there's only 10 of you. Well, they probably say more than they want to. "The sons of one man in the land of Canaan. Behold, the youngest is this day with our fathers, and one is no more." All that's honest, all that's true. And all that Joseph would, of course, know. So you got a dilemma. He's accusing them of being spies. They're saying, "No, we're part of one family. We come from one man." And so how does he arrange to solve this problem? All he's got is his 10 brothers here. Yeah. And we see that emotion break out a couple of times as we go through. So we'll come back to why in a minute. So let's hold for that just 1 second. I want to go down that route. But to kind of wrap this part up, what's his solution? He says, "I want you to go and do what? Prove what you're saying is true. You bring back this other brother that you say you have, and then that'll kind of prove, right?" Although, I don't know, is it really going to prove it? But he says, "You bring him back, and then that'll settle this matter." He even goes so far as to tell them what? That they are not to... Look at verse 18. "Do this, and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest, let one of your brothers remain confined." So this is part of the bargain. "I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go back, get your brother, take the grain back. But one of you has to stay behind." That's a pretty important question. And he'll confined in custody. And then verse 20. "Bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified." So when you do that, that'll verify that they're truthful, that they're being truthful, and the implication is I'll release the brother who stays behind. Let's see. There was one point one point he tells them, "Don't see my face. If you see my face without bringing your brother back, then you're in big trouble." And I can't seem to find that. But anyway, so he says, "I'm going to let you do this, but one has to stay back." Who stays back? Reuben, remember? Verse 22. Reuben says, "Did I not tell you not to sin against the boy?" Oh, wait, no, is it Simeon? I'm sorry, it is Simeon. Sorry. It's Reuben who condemns them, but it's Simeon who ends up getting held in custody. I get myself confused there. So, let me come back to the bigger question. We'll go on and talk about what they do and Jacob's reaction. What is Joseph doing here? And we'll close on this thought for this particular study. What is he trying to accomplish? Because number one, he knows what? They're not spies. He knows that. Number two, he knows Benjamin. They have a brother. There's no doubt about that. He knows they have, they're all one father, right? He knows all that information. So what is the end? He's not trying to make money off of them. He's not trying to get something in that way. So then what is he trying to accomplish? Yes, ma'am.
I think he knows the famine's going to last longer than the brothers obviously know. They would be privileged to that information. And maybe he's trying to, get them to come, get them to realize that whatever they're doing at home is not going to be enough.
Okay.
Come back at some point anyway.
Okay. Can I play back and forth a little bit? So, but why would he not just say then, I'm Joseph, right? This is not enough. Y'all just come on here. I'll take care of you. Because he could have done that, couldn't he? He could have just identified himself and said, hey, look, I'm your brother. The brother you sold into slavery. You know what? All's forgiven. Y'all just come on to Egypt. I'll take care of you. But couldn't he have just done that? He had the power to have his father.
He could directly, maybe for some Egyptian reason. He knows how all this changed him, but he doesn't know how it affected his father.
Oh, see, I think you're getting in there. I think he's putting them to a test. And I think he's trying to test, how much have you changed? Are you the same men who sold me into slavery and wanted to kill me? And who lied to our father that saying that I was dead? Are they, have they matured at all spiritually?
All these brothers are basically older than him.
Mm-hmm.
The babies at home. So we're looking at men, if Joseph is around 40, we're looking at men that's probably 60 maybe?
Yeah, they could range. Yes. And when they go back, do they immediately come back to get Simeon?
No.
No. Because they do have self-interest. They all have families.
And also, like, their father didn't want to let Benjamin go.
And they knew if they came back without Benjamin, they weren't going to live. Right? Or at least that's what they believed. I don't know if Joseph would have done it. So, there's a lot of things entangled here, but it seems to me that Joseph is testing them to see where they are. Now, as you go along in the narrative, I want you to keep that in mind. We'll come back to it and see how it, when it plays out, we're going to note the different reactions in the brothers, specifically in Judah. And so we'll recall that back to mind. But I've always been, fascinated and perplexed by some of what goes on, what motivates Joseph in all this. And I think part of it is that testing. He's going to take care of them. He's still going to do good for them. But it gives them an opportunity to see where they are. Have they changed? And I think there is a part of it about information. He hasn't seen any of them for a very long time. And does when they show up, he has no idea if Benjamin's alive, if Jacob's alive, even where they're living at this point. Remember, they're a nomadic family. And so some big questions that get answered over time. As you go through the chapter, we'll end here. They get back home. Now, on their way home, what do they find in their bags? Not yet. The cup comes later. That's with Benjamin. Their money that they had used to buy the goods is now in their bags. How did it get there? Now, we know how it got there. How did it? Joseph put it back in there. They don't know that. And so, from their perspective, they look like what?
Thieves.
And he accused them of being spies. So, from their perspective, things got a lot more dicey. Now, poor Simeon is still in custody, and I'm sure he's getting taken care of. It's probably not the worst, but maybe, I don't know, what his custody actually look like. So they go home with these sacks that with the money in there. They go home, they tell their father Jacob, what? We got home, we got this extra money. They're saying, we need to take Benjamin back, right? What's Jacob's response in verse 36? He makes an interesting statement in verse 36. He said, you, who's you?
His other sons.
The 10, right? The 9 now. He said, you have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And now you would take Benjamin? All this has come against me. I think it's interesting. I don't want to make too much of it. But it's interesting. He says what? You have bereaved me of my children. Now, does he know Joseph is alive? No.
He's pretty much already said Simeon's dead. He's like, well, he's
alive. So he's basically telling them, you're not taking Benjamin. You can't have him. Yes, ma'am.
Isn't there a possibility, because I know we discussed this a little bit when we were earlier in Genesis, that isn't there a possibility that Joseph didn't even know Benjamin was born?
There is a possibility. I've seen some say.
So, if it would have been even more of a shock if that was true, that he had another brother, possibly.
Yeah, I think the evidence weighs in the other direction that he did know. If you do a deep dive about if Genesis is not in chronological order always. Then maybe the discussion of the death of Rachel was after. But I think I lean more that the evidence really seems to be she died prior to Joseph being sold in slavery. That's where I am. I know there's people with different opinions about that. And so, yes, if it was true, Benjamin hadn't even been born yet, well, this would really be shocking. As you end the chapter, we'll end here. Reuben says what? Verse 37. He offers what deal to Jacob?
If he can kill his sons if he doesn't come back.
He puts down, you know, the price of if I don't bring Benjamin back, you can take and kill my two sons. That's pretty hard language, isn't it? Does Jacob take him up on it? No.
I don't think so.
No, if you go to the next thing, they
don't go right back.
So we'll look at verse chapter 43 and on next week. We'll continue. Please go ahead and read through this text. It's good stuff. Any other questions, comments before we close? Thank y'all for being here.